नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो गणवीरये भगवते रुत्तमा श्लोकेर भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपाल कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 48, entitled Krishna Pleases His Devotees, text number 24.
सत्वं प्रबोध्या वासुदेव गृहे वतीर्णः। स्वं शेन भारम् अपनेतुम् इहासि भूमे। अक्षौहिनी शतवदेन सुरेतरं च। राज्ञम् अमुष्य च कुलस्य यशो वितान्वन्। सत्वं प्रबोध्या वसुदेव गृहे वतीर्णा। वंशेन भारम् अपनेतुमिहासि भूमे। अक्षौहिनी शतवधेन सुरेतरं च। राज्ञम् अमुष्य च कुलस्य यशो नितान्वन्। सत्वं प्रबोध्य वासुदेव गृहे वतीर्णा। स्वं शेन भारम् अपनेतुम् इहासि भूमे। अक्षौहिनी शतवदेन सुरेतरं च। राज्ञम् अमुष्य च कुलस्य यशो नितन्वन्।
Prabhu, O Master, Adya, now, Vasudeva Grihe, in the home of Vasudeva, Avatirna, have descended, Swa, with your own, Amshena, direct expansion, Lord Balaram. Bharam, the burden, apanetum, to remove, iha, here, asi, you are, bhume, of the earth, akshohini, of the armies, shata, hundreds, vadena, by killing, Sura Itara, of the opponents of the demigods, Amsha, who are expansions, Ragyam, of the kings, Amushya, of this, Cha, and Kulasya, dynasty of the descendant of Yadu. Yashaha, the fame, Vitanman, spreading. translation purported by the servants and disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You are that very same Supreme Person, my Lord, and you have now appeared in the home of Vasudeva with your plenary portion. You have done this to relieve the earth's burden by killing hundreds of armies led by kings who are expansions of the demigods' enemies, and also to spread the fame of our dynasty. Please repeat. You are that very same Supreme Person,
my Lord,
and you have now appeared in the home of Vasudev, with your plenary portions. You have done this to relieve the earth's burden by killing hundreds of armies led by kings who are expansions of the demigods, enemies, and also to spread the fame of our dynasty. Purport. The term Suretaramsha Ragyam indicates that the demoniac kings slain by Krishna were in fact expansions or incarnations of the enemies of the demigods. This fact is elaborately explained in the Mahabharata, which reveals the specific identities of the demoniac kings.
Om Jnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karam Ayam Tadati Svapradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupam Sagrajagam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sachivam Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Hitam Shah Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Nira Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vachari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You are the very same Supreme Person, my Lord. And you have now appeared in the home of Vasudev with your plenary portion. You have done this to relieve the earth's burden by killing hundreds of armies led by kings who are expansions of the demigods' enemies, and also to spread the fame of our dynasty. We know from Nectar of Devotion, written by Srila Rupa Goswami, that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has unlimited qualities. But there are 64 primary qualities. Krishna has 64 primary qualities. Can any of you tell one of the qualities Krishna manifests? Surya? Beauty, yes, very nice.
Compassion.
Compassion, very good, thank you.
Yes.
Renunciation. From Mataji's side?
Knowledge.
Great, very nice. How do we? Yes, very true. So if you count all the good qualities Krishna has, but primary of them, 64, many of you said the primary ones. But according to the Acharyas, the most prominent of all the qualities is, you know, what is the most prominent of all Krishna's qualities? Bhakta Vatsala.
His pastimes.
Pastimes. But Prabhuji got it correct. He said mercy. Mercy. Out of all 64 qualities, Krishna manifests the quality of mercy in most extraordinary way. Most extraordinary. Even the, because Krishna's qualities of mercy, the quality of mercy Krishna manifests, is indeed very, very great. No one can actually comprehend the magnanimity, the mercy of Krishna. It is explained that Krishna, when he kills the demons, he awards liberations. The demons are enemies of Krishna. They want to kill Krishna. They want to harm Krishna. But Krishna, upon killing them, he gives them liberation. This favor is not even found for those who worship the demigods. The demigods have favorable worshippers. Worshippers of demigods worship them with favorable attitude. But still the demigods can't give liberation to their dependents. But whereas Krishna, he gives liberation to those who kill his enemies. How amazing. It is explained that Krishna's mercy is greater than that of Lord Vishnu. Why is Krishna's mercy greater than that of Lord Vishnu? Vishnu has a better, he has better facility of showing his mercy than the demigods can show mercy to his dependents. Vishnu can give liberation to those who serve him with favorable attitude. But Vishnu doesn't give liberation to those enemies who fight against him. So that's why Krishna's mercy is more magnanimous than that of Lord Vishnu. It is explained afterwards. You can ask questions at the end. Thank you. It is explained that Lord Vishnu, he killed the very same Kamsa which Krishna killed in his previous birth as Kalanemi. Kamsa's previous birth was Kalanemi. Vishnu killed him. Similarly, Vishnu, he killed Hiranyaksha in the form of Varaha. He killed Hiranyakashipu in the form of Shima. And then he killed the same Hiranyakashipu who came as Ravana. As Lord Ramachandra, he killed Ravana. And Hiranyaksha appeared again as Kumbhakarna. And he was killed by Ram again. But this very same demons appeared again as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And when Krishna killed them, they got liberation. So that's why Krishna's mercy is more magnanimous than the mercy shown by Lord Vishnu. It is explained in the beginning portion of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj were discussing the beautiful pastime of how Krishna, he delivered the witch Putana. Putana disguised herself very beautiful, like a 16-year-old young girl. Everyone thought that she was the goddess of fortune, wanting to see Krishna. So Putana, in the disguise, but he wanted to poison Krishna by feeding Krishna the breast milk, which was smeared with poison. He wanted to kill Krishna. But when Krishna drank the milk of Putana, Krishna took the favorable aspect of Putana. Krishna saw that Putana wanted to feed me milk. So what did Krishna do after killing Putana? Krishna gave her a position of a nurse in the spiritual world. Gave her a position of a mother in the spiritual world. This is the magnanimity of Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj tried to comprehend, what is the mercy of Krishna? Shukadeva Goswami said, this mercy shown by Krishna is so magnanimous that even a demon has got such a high position. What to speak of those who worship Krishna in a favorable attitude? They must get a higher position than that of Putana. If Putana got such an elevated position being a mother of Krishna, so what to speak of devotees who worship Krishna with a favorable attitude? Shukadeva Goswami's conclusion is, the acharyas conclude that those who serve Krishna with favorable attitude must have a higher position than that Putana achieved. Even when we offer bhoga to the Lord, we get vegetables, we get fruits, so forth. And when we offer to Krishna, even the trees and plants who provide these fruits and vegetables, they even get spiritual salvation by the mercy of Krishna. This is the magnanimity, this is the mercy nature of Krishna. And we know when Krishna killed the demon Kamsa, who in his previous life was Kalanemi, he got relieved from the existence of material world. And later on we'll see how he kills many, many demons. Shishupal, Dantavakra. The audience in the arena where they saw how Shishupal got beheaded, they saw that the spiritual spark went into Krishna's body. In other words, the spirit soul of Shishupal got liberation. Even if Krishna doesn't kill, but still, he shows his magnanimity. When Krishna was in the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was killing so many armies, so many people. And those who saw Krishna before they died, Prabhupada explained, they went back home, back to Godhead. This is the magnanimity of Krishna. But Krishna manifests his mercy nature, his magnanimity in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His full mercy potency is there in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Vradayate. Namo Mahavadanyaya Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your most Mahavadanyaya, your most magnanimous of all incarnations of Godhead. Krishna has so many incarnations, but when he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the same Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an expansion of Krishna, he is the very same Krishna. Just that Krishna, he transformed himself into golden hue. Because he takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani, his very beloved devotee, who is golden in complexion. When Sri Krishna takes in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he transforms into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the very same Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains that he is Mahavadanyaya. He is the most magnanimous of all incarnations. There is no incarnation you will see in entire creation that is more magnanimous than that of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's explained that there is so many incarnations. How many incarnations? The acharyas, Shukadeva Goswami explains, you can count as many particles of dust there are in the beach, in the ocean, or as many waves there are in the ocean. Still, there are more incarnations than that are found in the particle of grains in the sand, or as many waves that comes around. You cannot count how many waves there are in the ocean. Well, you can say, yes, I've counted. But the next moment you see thousands, billions of waves coming about. You miss those thousands. And in the future, there will be more waves coming about. So you cannot count how many waves there are. Even if you count how many waves there is, if you are all-knowing, Trikala Gyan, if you know the past, present and future, and you're able to count how many waves there will be, still you cannot count how many manifestation there are of Krishna, how many incarnation Krishna manifests himself. That you cannot count. But among all of the incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered the most magnanimous, most merciful of all incarnation. Obviously, the Gaur Purnima, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is approaching. So our meditation is that we try to meditate on Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he manifests his mercy to us. When people work in jobs, especially in computer field, you know, every 2 months you have to refresh your memory, you have to do your studies. You have to do your studies so that you can keep yourself updated in computer world. Similarly, in the spiritual world, in Krishna consciousness, we keep ourselves updated in the pastimes of the Lord, in the instructions given by the Lord. By keeping ourselves tuned in this beautiful pastimes, in these activities of the Lord, we can actually be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness day by day, month after month, year after year. So, a week will be coming, the Gaur Purnima, the famous appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we'll explain about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. It is explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is none other than the same Vyasadeva who wrote the whole Vedas, who wrote the Srimad Bhagavata. Similarly, Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the very most expert learned scholar. So they explain in their books how Advaita Acharya, who is not other than Mahavishnu and Shiva, Lord Shiva, he was in very, very depressed condition. He was in most distressed condition. Advaita Acharya was thinking, all around me, what I see is people breaking the regulated principles, taking into Kali Yuga vices. People are after intoxication. People love to gamble. They're after women, womanizers. And they eat animals in the name of religion. Advaita Acharya was in most depressed condition. He couldn't tolerate for a devotee when they see a person suffering. They feel suffering. Paradukha-dukhi. This is the nature of a devotee. Devotee experiences suffering when they see others suffering. But on the other hand, the quality of a demon, as explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, is that when the demons see that their enemies are being punished or are in severe condition, they are very, very happy. Just opposite that of the devotees. Devotees, they see suffering of the other living entities. What do they experience? They feel great pain at heart. They cannot see the suffering of other living entities. That is in true nature of a devotee. That was manifested by Advaita Acharya. When he saw all the people indulging themselves in Kali Yuga vices, but they were not happy at heart, he also experienced great unhappiness. So Advaita Acharya, as Lord Shambhu, he proclaimed, he said to Krishna, as Lord Shiva, he said to, he worshipped the Shalagram Srila. He offered Shalagram Srila simple Ganga water and Tulasi. And he called out, Krishna, please descend to this world. His call was so loud, he called out so loudly that he penetrated this material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. As we know, 10 times bigger than earth is water, and 10 times even bigger than water is fire. So if you calculate it like this, false ego is the biggest, and it penetrated the outer space and went through Brahma Jyoti, pierced through Brahma Jyoti, went through Vaikuntha planets and to Krishna. He called out, oh Krishna, please descend to this world. Please come to this world. He said that, I see many people are suffering. You please come and you deliver these people. There is no one but you who can deliver them, because you are Mahavadanyayi, you are the most magnanimous person. There is no one in entire universe, entire creation that is more magnanimous than you. Even I cannot deliver them. I am the same Mahavishnu, but I have no potentiality of delivering them. If you do not come and if I see this sinful reaction coming about, I will bring about destruction. So, on the plea of Advaita Acharya, and on the other hand, we see that another great personality, the disciple of Advaita Acharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, he was chanting the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very, very enthusiastically, very eagerly he was chanting, with the whole mood of bringing about Krishna's descent in this world. So, combined with Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna desired to manifest himself in this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared in the womb of Sachimata, the mother of Sachimata, who is Vasudev, who is Devaki, and who is also Mother Yashoda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in her womb. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come out of the womb after 9 months. He stayed longer. He stayed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the womb for 13 months. The reason so is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to wait for the most opportune time when he can descend to this world. Most auspicious time. This is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the womb for 13 months. When the materialists, they understand that when the lunar eclipse takes place, that is the most inauspicious time for the materialist. It is explained, even if you are materially inclined, one should not do activities during when the lunar eclipse takes place or the solar eclipse takes place. Because if they do that, then there is bad reaction, materially even speaking. So for the materialist, this is the most inauspicious time. But for the devotees, they took this very great opportunity to actually glorify Krishna. It is during this time, when lunar eclipse takes place or solar eclipse takes place, one must engage themselves in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the devotees took that opportunity to celebrate the holy name of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They went to the river Ganga in the banks of in Navadvip, Sri Mayapur Dham. They were chanting out the glorious name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They were chanting out so loudly, everyone was into it. Even the malaichas or those who are meat eaters, when they heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what did they do? They started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In a very mockery way, in a very funny way. They were trying to tease the devotees by chanting. So they also joined in with the devotees, and both the non-devotees and devotees, they were both, all of them were congregationally chanting the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For the non-devotees, which they considered the most inauspicious time, the devotees considered it the most auspicious time. That's when Harshi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. One of the motto or one of the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent in this world was to spread the glories of the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he did it even before he appeared. He did it. He was able to convince even the non-devotees to chant this. This is the magnanimity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Niman, he was only a baby. He used to cry and cry and cry. And Sachi Mata, Jagannath Mishra, and all the visiting guests who are none other than the demigods, when they came to see Nimai, they tried to pacify him. They tried to pacify Nimai by different means, by offering him toy, by giving him milk. But still he wouldn't stop crying. He still continued crying and crying. And they were wondering, what's the solution? Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Mata, she said, let's chant the glories of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when they chanted, Nima immediately stopped crying. And then they stopped chanting. And then Nima went back crying again, even louder. So the devotees chanted the names of Krishna even louder than ever expected. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the way they could pacify Nimai when he was very small. Nimai was able to make them Krishna conscious even when he was a very small baby. As Nimai grew up, he took the mission of Srila Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri, to spread the glories of the holy name. So he started his first Sankirtan party. He started his first preaching episode. He sent different devotees to different regions. And one of the party he sent was the Avadhut, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, with Srila Haridas Thakur, who was Namacharya. When they were spreading the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When they were spreading this, they were delivering so many people. So many people. At one point, they came to a junction where they saw two drunkards, Jagai and Madhai. These two drunkards, when they never saw sin devotees. They have seen devotees, but they never offended. But when they saw that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita and Haridas Thakur were chanting the names of the Lord very enthusiastically and very loudly and eagerly, the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, they got really mad. So Madai and Jagai, they started chasing Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, he was young, so he was able to run really fast. But Haridas Thakur, he was trying to catch up. He had great difficulty catching up with Nityananda Prabhu. And Haridas Thakur was very frustrated with Nityananda Prabhu. He said, Nityananda Prabhu, why did you come over here? Why did you ask me to come and join you and preach to these drunkards, Jagai and Madai? We told you that these guys are unapproachable. We told you, why did you bring me in such a predicament situation? And they were teasing each other like this, and they escaped. Nityananda Prabhu, obviously beyond the bodily concept of life, that's why he's known as Avadhut, one who is beyond bodily concept of life. He said, let us go again tomorrow. And Haridas Thakur said, oh my God, who am I with? Why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu send me with him? Anyway, Haridas Thakur thought, let me have a bit of adventure with Nityananda Prabhu. So they went again, and they were singing the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They were singing so enthusiastically. And Jagai Madai saw, and they said, they didn't learn a lesson. How dare they do this? So Madai picked up a clay pot from the ground, and Madai struck it on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's head. Madai struck it on Sri Nityananda Prabhu's head. And blood profusely came from Nityananda Prabhu's head. Few devotees immediately ran to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and mentioned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the catastrophe that took place. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is able to tolerate any offense and a devotee does, but when it comes to an offense to another devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never tolerates. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, those who offend my devotees, those who offend Krishna's devotees, they consider the greatest offense the Hathi Mata Aparadha, or the elephant coming into a junk, into a field, destroying everything. This is the offense to a devotee. It's considered, the Hathi Mata Aparadha is considered an elephant coming and destroying one's Bhakti Lata Beej, one's Bhakti Lata Creeper, or the creeper of devotion. This is the greatest of all offense. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he couldn't tolerate. He immediately rushed to the scene where Nityananda Prabhu was injured. And Madhai, he was about to throw another stone before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But Jagai, when he saw the saintly quality of Nityananda Prabhu, he said, wait a minute. Think second time. Don't do this. He is a saintly person. So, it was Jagai who actually stopped Madhai from doing more damage to his devotional service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this scene, when he saw his very dear brother, his very dear devotee, Nityananda Prabhu, who was injured, he got very, very angry. His eyes were very red. Immediately, he raised his hands. He said, who did this? And he said, Sudarshan, descend on my hand and I'll kill these two sinners. Obviously, Nityananda Prabhu, He is considered more compassionate than Lord Nityananda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has more mercy than that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What did Nityananda Prabhu do? Who is considered the ocean of mercy? He immediately fell at Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And he said, please don't do this. Please don't ask your Sudarshan Chakra to descend in your hand. Excuse me. If you ask the Sudarshan Chakra to descend your hand and kill this Jagai and Madhai, then you cannot spare all the living entities in this world, in the age of Kali. Everyone is as sinful as Jagai and Madhai. Everyone is more sinful. So, Nityananda Prabhu pleaded to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, don't do this. And Nityananda Prabhu said, in fact, it is Jagai who stopped Madai from throwing another stone at me. So please spare them. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this. He heard Nityananda Prabhu's plea. He immediately refrained himself. He understood his purpose of his descent in the age of Kali. His purpose of descent was to spread, his very special weapon was to spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood. So he refrained from himself from killing Madhai and Jagai. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very gladdened when he heard, oh, Jagai, you stop Madhai from throwing another clay pot on Nityananda Prabhu. He immediately, his heart melted, immediately embraced the drunkard Jagai. When he embraced Jagai, all the sinful activities which Chandragupta, the very intimate secretary of Yamaraj, counted in his chart, he couldn't find any trace that Jagai hadn't committed, Madai hadn't committed. They broke all the rules and regulation of whether spiritual or even material. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Jagai as his disciple, his pupil, Madai, he was wondering, oh Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your descent in this world is to show compassion. Why do you show compassion to my brother Jagai and not to me? Jagai did the very same thing which I did. Why don't you show compassion on me also? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the greatest sinner. The reason so is because you harmed my devotee. But Jagai stopped you from doing more damage to your devotional service. That's why he's not as a greater sinner than you. Then Madai said, well, if your purpose was to deliver the most fallen, please deliver me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the only way you can be delivered is if you fall at the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. This is what Madai did. He fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. In this episode, we can understand the magnanimity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mercy nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His mercy exceeds far beyond the mercy that is shown by Krishna himself. It is explained that Krishna, when he kills the demons, what does he do? He gives them sayujya mukti. He gives them liberation into Brahman effulgence, merging into the impersonal effulgence. Or for instance, with Putana, he gave her as a nurse. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's magnanimity is more greater because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the demons into devotee in one lifetime, whereas Krishna had to make them into devotee in the next lifetime. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in nature is more magnanimous than that of Krishna. He was able to transform the demoniac qualities that of Jagai Madai within the very same moment, with the same lifetime. On top of that, they got the highest goal of perfection, the Krishna Prem. It is explained that there is no incarnation that offers love of Krishna, love for Krishna in Vrindavan. No incarnation offers that except for Krishna himself in his form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is one of the purposes why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world. His purpose was to give Krishna prem. Obviously, the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's messengers, or in other words, the generals of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are considered more magnanimous. This is for no doubt. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached Krishna consciousness, he explained Bhagavad Dharma, the science of God, only in India. But the generals of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the science of God out of India to the Western world. This is the greatest compassion that is shown by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can anyone tell the beautiful verse of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy? Sarvata hoibe mora naam, isn't it? Prithivite ache nagaradigram sarvata hoibe mora naam. That in every town and village, the glories of Krishna will be spread. And who was able to do this? This was not other than Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was the emblem of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. Srila Prabhupada, at a very, very old age, at the age of retirement, he started a whole process of Krishna consciousness in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada, his magnanimity was so great. It is explained, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, those who are envious of me, those who are not austere, those who are not a devotee, they should not be given the glory, they should not be told the signs of God. You must have some sort of austerity. You must have some sort of sincerity, some sort of faith. Then you should be understood Bhagavad Gita. But for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether you have faith or no faith, whether you are austere or not austere, whether devotee or not a devotee, you have the privilege to take on the process of Krishna consciousness and chant the glories of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Hare. Very interestingly, Srila Prabhupada, he emblemed exactly the mood that of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether qualified or not qualified, whether austere or not austere, whether Krishna conscious or not Krishna conscious, God conscious whatsoever, everyone's got the opportunity to take up the process of Krishna conscious and perfect their life within the very same life. This is the magnanimity of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada, when he started the movement in a very, very unique way, he started by just the simple process of chanting the holy name of the Lord very loudly with raised hands. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Srila Prabhupada started his Krishna conscious movement, and it is by his mercy that all of us present here are here. It is by his mercy, whatever aspect of devotional service, whatever service we may have in our field, we are able to do just because of Prabhupada's mercy. Anything that is in relation to expanding the Krishna conscious movement is considered fulfilling the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prithivite Ache Nagaradi Graham. Even if you're cooking is your offering to the Lord is going for many conditioned souls who are suffering. Even if you are cleaning the temple, when the visitor comes into the temple and they sees the temple very clean, they feel inspired. They feel very enlivened. They feel very Krishna conscious. Whether it be the temple room or prasadam hall, or whether it be toilets. If the toilets were disastrous, then people would not want to come to the temple for one reason, just that the toilets are not clean. Nanda Mandir Prabhu, he cleans it, he does this very humble service. This is preaching. Any aspect of your service is preaching. Doesn't mean preaching has to be talking and neglecting everything. This is not preaching. In fact, Prabhupada was very, very careful that everything was performed perfectly for the pleasure of Krishna. Because anything that is in relation with Krishna is for the benefit of the conditioned soul. Suppose the crossways where we distribute prasadam is dirty, it's not clean, then how is it inspiring for the conditioned souls to take up the process of Krishna consciousness? Even if they do, it is just for some other reasons, not with the real purpose, not with substantial reason. If you want substance, you must do it with substance. In other words, you must do it with purity. Whatever aspect, whether it be cleaning, whether it be deity worship, whether it be doing simple service of cutting vegetables, or going to catering, anything. This is considered preaching. This is considered spreading the glories of the Holy Name. Because if a person sees the temple clean, or if the person sees the prasadam clean, or anything clean, they think, oh, this is very nice. And they have favorable impression on Krishna consciousness. Even without speaking, they already develop, automatically they will develop favorable impression on Krishna consciousness. I explained, cleanliness is next to godliness. So if you're not clean, do you think God will be there? You must be clean externally and internally. Whatever is external cleanliness is manifested, that is shown in internally. If it is not clean externally, then you know that internally we are not clean. This is how we can understand. But if it is clean externally, we understand, oh, my heart is getting clean, getting more purified. So whatever aspect it may be, it's still pushing on the movement of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada will be very, very pleased. Obviously, some people are expert in spreading Krishna consciousness, and we should assist them whatever way we can. Even if you assist them, you're also considered preaching, spreading the glories of the Holy Name, spreading the glories of the Lord. The Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is Prabhupada's gift to us. And how we take Prabhupada's gift is up to us. But if we really care, we show all gratitude to Srila Prabhupada by offering whatever ability, whatever facility we have, mind, body, words, whatever aspect, we offer it fully to Srila Prabhupada as a gratitude for what he has given us. What no one in entire creation gets, nor any person within any other span of time could ever achieve. The very same, very precious gift was given by Srila Prabhupada. That we should understand, we should show gratitude to, and embrace Prabhupada's affectionate gift to us. The chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. and the other devotional aspects. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions in this regard? Please, can you, or criticism? Yes, Prabhuji.
When Gaur Maharaj was here, he was telling that in order to go back to the spiritual world, you need 100% your attained prema.
Hmm.
Without attained prema, you can't.
Yes, yes.
But when you say that, even demons, like Purthana, they're taken back to the spiritual world, and then when you think of that, sometimes I'm thinking that it's better to be.
Very nice. But to become demons, you must be a special person. Because you can be any ordinary demon, and you can be wiped out by, not by Krishna, you can be wiped out by Krishna's external energy, material energy. You must be a special demon. Like Hiranyakashipu, or for instance, Kamsa. He's a special demon because why? He was always thinking of Krishna. Because that's one of the reasons Narada Muni envied the position of Kamsa. Oh, Kamsa? He's able to think of Krishna always, but I'm not able to. So, Narada Muni, out of humility, he considered Kamsa's position more elevated than him because he was able to think of Krishna. Kamsa is indeed a very special demon. Similarly, in Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they are special demons. They are Jaya and Vijaya. But it is explained by Sukadeva Goswami that if one performs devotional service in a favorable attitude, they must achieve the position greater than that Putana has achieved. Yes. Putana got the mercy of Krishna. Even though he did it with evil intent, she got the position of a nurse. So what to speak of devotees? They must get a greater position than what Putana has achieved. Because they're doing it in a favorable aspect. On the other hand, Prabhupada said that we can actually perfect our Krishna consciousness within one lifetime. It is generally understood that it takes many, many lifetimes to come to the process of bhakti. To come to the process and to perfect the process of bhakti, it takes so many lifetimes. But we should understand, we have to, out of humility, we have to admit, yes, we are the most fallen conditioned souls. We have so many shortcomings, no doubt. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you please, you show your mercy. If you take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, surely they will overcome all those shortcomings and they will give you the perfection of life within the very same life. This is possible. Just that we do earnestly, we perform devotional service earnestly. You know this very famous verse of Lord Brahma offered? You know this verse? Sadhaya Bhakti. Tateinu kambam shushumikshamar munjana eva bhaktitam vipakam hidvagvapur bhir vidadhan namaste jivate yom mukti padeshakhaya bhak. Whatever suffering, whatever difficulties, trivials we might experience in this life, we take it as Krishna's mercy and earnestly, with sincerity, full gratitude, we offer obeisances to Krishna. In other words, we perform devotional service to Krishna. Within this very lifetime, the spiritual world becomes your rightful claim. This is the verdict of Lord Brahma. And this privilege is given to us by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. Ordinarily, it takes many lifetimes, no doubt. But this rare occasion, we should make the best use of. We haven't got any better time than what we are experiencing now. Especially after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially after Krishna's descent 5,000 years ago, and on top of that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent 500 years ago, and recently Srila Prabhupada's spreading of the movement. Prabhupada made it so easy for us. And Prabhupada said, if you follow these simple regulations, rules and regulations, chanting 16 rounds best as you can, following four regulated principles every day, coming for programs if you can. Just a simple process. If you do it every day, then you can perfect your life. Prabhupada says this. If Prabhupada says this, Krishna will not deny Prabhupada's words. Name bhakta pranashati. Konteya pratijani name bhakta pranashati. Declared boldly that my devotees never perish. If devotees claim that if you do this process of devotional service within this life, you'll go back home back to God, Krishna will surely make sure that you'll go back home back to God if you do it. Surely. So, this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that we have this opportunity. There's no doubt about it.
You're telling that it's not the fact that the 16 rounds will take us back, but rather the mercy is so much as well.
Yeah, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ordinarily, we have to do more. But Krishna can understand. Whatever little you're doing is the greatest challenge, especially in this most degraded age. He can understand this. Krishna is a person. He is a person with feeling. He takes the feeling of a devotee. He can understand, this devotee is struggling very hard for my benefit. So I might rush towards him. This is the most magnanimity, this is the magnanimity of Krishna, especially in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. He's explained, whatever little devotion you do, Krishna says it a thousand times later. See how in Srimad Bhagavatam, just by Ajamil, because he was practicing devotional service, and later on because of some problems, he still chanted Narayan and he got delivered. So if Prabhupada says that if you do 16 rounds every day, if you follow four regulated principles, yes? And if you follow your devotional sadhana, you know, come for Mangalarti, Darshanarti. If you do that every day, why can't that devotee go back home back to God? This is our endeavor. We put our endeavor, and on top of that, we get a big topping, that is the mercy given by the spiritual master and Krishna. This is the greatest prize. So if we do it sincerely, surely it must take place. No doubt. One must not doubt. Try again and again. Even if you fall down, you pick yourself. You don't say, oh, I'm fallen, and stay on the ground. No, you pick yourself and continue walking. Like the child, when the child is a small baby, the child falls again and again. Does it mean the child should give up walking just because if the child fell down once or twice? No. If the child is intelligent enough, let me try again. Let me try again. Then the child is able to walk. For us, we might have problems here and there, but we should pick ourselves up again and again and cling onto the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master to perfect our life. This is the greatest mercy we can get. The only mercy we have. Any other comments or questions before we end the class? Yes, Prabhuji?
Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago.
Yes. Krishna, his body is spiritual. His body is not material. In fact, he wasn't killed by a hunter, but the situation was such that Krishna arranged the situation in such a way that he could bring about the atheists to bring about arguments. So when Krishna, he lied down under the banyan tree, the hunter shot the arrow, thinking that the foot of Krishna was the face of a deer. Could ever anyone think like that? This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read it. So, the hunter shot the arrow, thinking that it must be a deer. It hit his foot. And before that, the whole battle took place just nearby. Whole battle took place. The Yadavas were killing each other with canes because Krishna arranged it so that Krishna was thinking, how can I relieve the burden of the Yadavas? In other words, how can I take the Yadavas back to Godhead? So he arranged the situation in such a way that they drank a certain kind of liquor and they got drunk. Not the liquor we drink now, it's the most abominable liquor. But they have certain kind of liquor. They drank and they got drunk and they killed each other. So the fighting place just took place right nearby. So do you think deers could be around there? But nevertheless, the hunter was thinking, oh, this, the foot of Krishna must be a deer. So he shot. In fact, when Krishna appeared, when the hunter appeared there, when the hunter saw it wasn't a deer, it was Krishna, he immediately paid obeisance. He said, oh, what a fool I am. But Krishna said, I arranged this. Krishna said, I arranged this. I made you think that the foot of my foot was a deer. It's not your fault. Krishna said this. And in fact, it's explained that it might seem that if Krishna, he left a replica of his body. He immediately descended to the spiritual. He descended so fast, no one could see him in the sky. No one could see him. Only few people like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva saw Krishna descending. But no one, it is explained when Krishna descended to the world, when he went to the spiritual world, he went as fast as the lightning. No one could see. You see how the lightning comes? That's how Krishna went to the spiritual world, so fast. No one could see. But Krishna left a replica of his form. The reason is so that the atheists can bring about more arguments to prove the non-existence of God. It's explained, just like the snake sometimes leaves the external body. So this is what Krishna did. Krishna has no material body, but he made a Maya form, or the material form of himself. So the atheists can be bewildered. So they cannot also enter into the deep understanding of Krishna's activities. They will stay on bay. Krishna arranged it. Because the atheists want to disprove the existence of God. Okay, Krishna said, alright, you want to disprove my existence? I will give you the best way you can disprove it. In such a way you can disprove it. But obviously they are bewildered. They themselves are bewildered. They can't understand Krishna's pastime. In other words, Krishna is trying to point out, if you want to understand me, don't try to understand me with my with your mind, with your intellect. You cannot understand me. You can understand me only through the mercy of my representative, the devotees. I see. That is Krishna's point. Yes? Thank you. It's clear, yeah? Thank you. Thank you very much. It's explained Krishna's body is spiritual. His body is... When he was an infant, he killed Putana. He didn't have to go to Himalayas and do yoga, Ashtanga yoga, so that he can get the power to kill Putana. Just by when he was an infant, 3 months old, he was able to kill. Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill. He did most extraordinary activities. So, we should not consider Krishna's body in whatsoever a material body. This is the materialist interpretation of who Krishna is. That's why Srila Prabhupada would be very, very heavy with these Mayavadis, because they say that Krishna's body is material. They say that the Mayavadis say that Krishna's body is as good as our body. But Prabhupada said, no, Krishna's body is not like that. He was ever youthful. Even when he was 120 years old in the battle of Kurukshetra, he was only 16 years old or something, 25 young man. He never had beard or mustache. He looked very young. He looked Navayovana. But if someone's body transformed into the age of 100, then you can say whether he has material body or not. Yes? You can see the grey hair. Oh yes, he's got material body. He's got tooth missing here and there. Yes, he's got material body. You can calculate it like this and you can understand, yes, he's got material body. But Krishna's body is totally spiritual. The portion of Srimad Bhagavatam I'm reading is the pastime of how Krishna delivers Muchukunda in the cave. Krishna, if he was, he can manifest his forearm form any time. This is spiritual. It's not material. We cannot desire like that. So whatsoever, you should understand, Krishna, even in his deity form, is not a marble. He is Krishna himself, Rajendra Nandana. He is the same Krishna in Vrindavan. He is not a marble. He is not a metal. He is not a wood. That we should understand. For materialists, when they see Krishna in his marble form, they think, oh, he's a marble deity statue, or it's a metal statue. They get bewildered. But for devotees, they understand, oh no, this is Archavigraha, this is Krishna. This is how Krishna accepts our offering. This is where we can reciprocate with Krishna. Krishna, he in his Archavigraha form, in his form of so-called marble, you can say, when the offering comes to him, how does he eat? He can just see the offering and eat. This is his potency. So what to speak of Krishna when he was present 5,000 years ago? If this is for the so-called marble deities people interpret, then what to, you know, we see Archavigraha as same, none other than the same Krishna who appeared 5,000 years ago. Yes. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.